sort of Chris McCarthy. Not really, though. This is Ken Pittman filling in for Chris. Good morning. I'm here just for the day. Chris will be returning. I get a call right away from somebody I wanted to get on before I begin my thing here because he was waiting. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
How you doing? How you doing?
Good, good. Nice
you're
to hear from you.
You're still playing out a lot? You're still playing out a lot?
I am, yeah. Yeah.
Good for you.
Staying busy.
Good for you.
Thank you.
All right. I discussed this with Chris, and I've got the figures here. This is a bad way to start the day, but I'm going to do it. Now, the American Rescue Act, that was $68 million the city received last year, 2026, this past fiscal year.
68? Okay.
In 2020, $68 million, the American Rescue Act. That's not going to be coming to us this year, is it?
I don't know.
No. No, that's all done. And we received, the city of New Bedford received state and federal aid of $279 million. Most of that was for the schools.
Yeah.
And that was given to us by the state. The federal government probably isn't going to give us any money this year. I doubt it.
Well, they've expressed that they don't want to reward the sanctuary areas.
Right, right. So a city of New Bedford's going to be out a lot of revenue, a lot of revenue. Now, I've got other figures here. In fiscal 2026, I know people don't pay attention to numbers, but I do. We had $154 million in revenues, and that's projected from property taxes. Then we had another $12.3 million from local revenues. That's from fines and parking meters and the parking garage and mm-hmm. a bunch of other stuff combined, which was called local revenues. That came to $12.3 million. And then the department revenues.
And just the $154 million is projected for 26? The property taxes?
We haven't got our second and third bill yet. That was estimated. This is all. But this is what we've gotten. The $154 million is projected property taxes. Right. But they haven't done the second and third, the third and fourth quarters yet. And then we've gotten departments with $21.6 million in revenues, and then the airport, $1.3 million, and then cable access with $1.5 million. And the total comes to $190 million in revenue sources. I thought it was way more than that, but it's not. And then we got the American Rescue Act of $68 million that we will not be receiving this year.
You're talking about a Biden policy that is not a Trump policy.
Right,
gotcha.
Right. And then we have $279 million from the state and federal government aid. Most of that is for education. Now, if you wrap it up, it doesn't come anywhere near $551 million operating budget. And with the loss of a lot of this state and federal aid, they're cutting back on education. They're cutting back on that American Rescue Act. Forget that. So we only have about in total revenues. We only have with the aid
and the $400 million.
Yeah. So how do you run a city with all your state and federal aid that doesn't add up to, 109, a little over $400 million. How do you operate with a $551 million operating?
I can imagine what we're going to hear. We're going to hear once again.
Yeah, we're going to go into receivership.
Well, you're going to hear calls for bringing back Prop 2.5, right?
And bringing back.
Rolling it back.
Get rid of it. No. That we've had Prop 2.5 on the books for years and years. And guess what? This mayor's first year, he didn't exceed Prop 2.5. But every year after, I don't know how he's gotten away with it, He's exceeded prop 2.5. And that's shameful. He says he can do it. He just, I don't know what his excuse is, but he says he can do it, and he did it. Now we're in jeopardy, this city, of going into receivership.
What's the shortfall? What's the short? Is it about $100 million? A little less?
No. Deficit is almost $150 million.
Oh, it's more than 100. Okay. No, I mean, all those numbers, I was just kind of trying to keep up.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, I did the math, and it's like, unless the state increases our rate, which it's not going to do, because let's face it, they spent all the money they had, the $8 billion, on illegal immigration people, right?
Yeah.
Taking care of them. They spent pretty much all of it.
Billions.
Not quite all of it, but a lot of it. So our state aid's going to dwindle this year.
Well, don't forget, the governor, who appears to me, at least, that she's indicating she's going to try to run for higher office, she's passing on the raising of taxes. She's putting it on the backs of the mayors and select boards across the community.
Right. And that's, you know, the last city that went into receivership was, I think, Chelsea, and then Springfield and Lawrence, they had partial receiverships. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens in a receivership is the mayor has no power, the city council loses its power.
It's embarrassing.
The state runs the city.
Right.
And I'm afraid that this could very well happen to New Bedford. Imagine the richest city in the world at one time is now one of the poorest. Shameful. But yeah, so I've looked into these numbers, and they don't paint a pretty picture for the city of New Bedford and for the businesses and the taxpayers here in New Bedford.
These are what you listed. Those are the entire streams of revenue for the city.
Right.
I bet they are. You've always been good with numbers, Mike.
Yeah, and the problem is it just doesn't add up. Now.
No.
And I've, for the last 18 years, called for a freeze on hiring to attrition, bring the numbers of municipal employees down. That's where the big education and municipal employees are the thing. Now, I've looked at other cities throughout the country, and they don't have as many municipal employees. You know, other cities with 100,000, and they don't have anywhere near the municipal employees we have. And we have over $500 million in unfunded liabilities to the pension fund.
Well, I see some of the same mistakes I think are happening in Boston. Boston can overcome so much because they have such a diverse economic engine. But, you know, they gave away prime property in Kenmore Square and elsewhere to schools where they're no longer taxed. These are tax-free zones now. So instead of having, a property tax revenue, They're giving it away. And I think I see that with a lot of nonprofit or not-for-profit organizations in New Bedford. I think that cuts into the revenues that they could have had with really good properties too downtown. That's not going to answer all of it. But there's just a number of things that we're seeing. You're your own worst enemy. Mike hung up. But if his numbers are right, that's not good news. A minus $150 million for 26. I can't challenge him right here off the cuff. But he's usually pretty good with his fiscal numbers. Despite his inability to get elected, nobody could argue with some of the positions he took. All right, well, 508-996-0500, we will come back in just a moment. You are listening to The Chris McCarthy Show. Ken Pittman filling in. And a lot to come here. Don't go away. Chris will be back tomorrow.
508-996-0500. To Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Yeah, that's something I noticed a while back. The governor of Massachusetts, Maura Healey, promised not to raise taxes, but she is begging the state to adopt a local tax increase policy where she doesn't get the blame for it. It's going to be your mayor's or your select board's, depending on where you live, to increase the revenues that she would love to, but she's also going to look like a fiscal conservative as she tries to look more of a moderate to the rest of the country. I don't know if she's running for Senate or even higher, but it appears to a lot of people she's going to try to run for higher office. So we dropped a call from Mike, and we want to bring him back on to finish what he was talking about. Sorry about that. I don't know if that was here or there.
Yeah, neither do I. I don't know how that happened. I want to finish up. I wanted to finish up
all right
with the fact that economic development team, which hasn't delivered any new revenue sources here to the city of New Bedford except for wind. And now, both at the airport and on our waterfront, we've had a foreign trade zone in place for 50-some-odd years, almost 60 years, and it's never been utilized properly. Now, the wind's pretty much eaten up all our waterfront. Am I correct?
Yep.
You see it?
Yeah. Yep.
So anything that could have been done to increase revenue sources, because the wind industry, if you look at what they're paying us, it's $600,000 a year in taxes we're receiving from
them. That's not a lot.
No, and this mayor, he promised. I can remember him. It's been four years ago. When he ran and got his four-year term, I think it might have been even 6 years ago, he promised a couple of thousand jobs. He promised to the people of the city of New Bedford in the wind industry. And to date, all the jobs have been pretty much outsourced.
I was going to ask that question. Do we know what the equation is? I mean, usually when you give a tiff like that.
Well, they don't give you the numbers. They're not giving you the numbers. You know, Vineyard Wind and the other companies aren't giving people the numbers they need to know where these employees are coming from. But I've asked, and the majority of them aren't from New Bedford. A handful, not 2,000 like was promised. and the economic development team. They wanted to go to the golf course, right?
Yeah.
No one's going to lend us. That's going to fall through, and it has fallen through because no lending institution is going to lend that kind of money for that project when we still have empty buildings on the waterfront that are for sale because the federal government's ruined the fishing industry. So a lot of fish houses are up for sale. I've seen three of them recently that are for sale, the buildings. And there's empty buildings up in the industrial park. And yet our economic development team hasn't filled them. We need changes, not only within the mayor's office immediately, we need massive cuts to the operating budget, but we need a change on the third floor office of the mayor. We need and changes to our economic development team because they don't have a plan in place that's going to bring the kind of revenue that we need to run a $551 million operating budget.
Who do you think? Like, give me a couple of names. You think somebody could manage the city correctly that would be interested?
You mean as a mayor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's two city councilors that I know of. One has intentions of running. And that's Ian Abreu.
Yeah.
And the other one is Brian. I mean, you people not buying because he's a little loud, but and the way he presents on issues, some people don't like it, but he tells the truth. And he and Linda Morad were the only two seated councilors, members of the city council, that had consistently voted against increasing the city, you know, by growing the city's operating budget the way it did. Mm-hmm. Now, when he got in, it was 200 and some odd million dollar operating budget. And in 1 year, and I did the research on this, so I know my figures are correct. In 1 year, $147 million increase. In a two-year span, with revenue losses. With revenue losses in a two-year span, he increased this mayor. He says he doesn't make the budget, but his department heads do. And in 2 years, $147 million increase to the operating budget with revenue losses. That's shameful.
Well, the mayor has more than doubled down on his belief that wind is the answer. And if he's wrong,
wind is not the answer. Solar will always be the answer.
Yeah.
Solar will always be the answer. Now, the new technology is using crystals to intensify the sun's rays. But we don't have batteries strong enough to accept the charge as we speak. I think Elon Musk has an invention, his group, that has a battery on your house, but it doesn't give enough power to run your whole house. We can run. They want green energy? Start making batteries that can accept the charge.
Oh, I think the race is on for that, Mike. I always appreciate your call. It was good to hear from you.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Hi, caller. Thanks for waiting. You're next.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
Morning.
You know, last year, no, as a matter of fact, this year's operating budget is $500 million for the city of New Bedford.
Okay.
And next year, it's going to be $560 million. Our school budget for this year, Melissa Costa was on Brian's beat, is $268 million.
Yeah, roughly half.
Now, Mike said that we're only collecting in local revenue, property taxes and business and other taxes and fees, $198 million. You know,
no, it was
how
more
much
than that.
Money are we getting from the state and federal? That's what we need to know. Every time
I think he said 279. I think he said 279 million.
He said, "What
state and federal?" Yeah.
Right. So that's not enough.
No.
So the mayor comes in on softball Wednesday every week. You know, no, and doesn't answer these questions. How can you operate a city with a budget that's going up $60 million next year, 198? According to Mike Jansen, and 279. That's federal and state.
Michael Jansen has proven himself to be a pretty good fiscal watchdog, and his numbers are suggesting near a $150 million operating deficit next year projected. So you're going to see solutions that will come in the form of increased property taxes, increased fees, things like that, other taxes. I think that he'll have no choice. Because if he's right, if Jansen's right, and we're facing the threat of receivership, that's going to ruin John Mitchell forever.
Oh, yeah, that's imminent. Yeah. But even, Ken, if you go, like you're saying, increase your property taxes and the business tax, right? You're still not going to create that void when the state and federal is cutting back funding to New Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you go up on that, on property taxes and business, the businesses are just going to get up and leave New Bedford. Then you're going to be in a bigger hole because of the revenues. But this mayor comes on and it's everything is beautiful.
I mean, I've heard anecdotals from people who would know that, you know, large companies want to come in and set up shop with a lot of jobs for local people. And he says, and only to be told by Mitchell that those aren't the kind of jobs we want here.
Oh, absolutely.
Mitchell's wrong. I don't know the specifics of these things, but I mean, there's been opportunities that he's bypassed thinking that we can do better, you know, but they say a bird in hand, right?
What about the golf course? You know, big news. It was going to come on WBSM. There are going to be a lot of businesses, a major employer. And you know what became of that? Absolutely nothing.
I would love to see the future leadership of New Bedford start to get a little imaginative and start thinking about going vertical. There's just not a lot of property here, but you can go up and create property.
Well, we had a lot of mills, Ken. You know what they've become? Storage facilities.
Yeah, those days are over. I mean, it's a new century. It's a new economy. There's a new need. I mean, those aren't coming back, but that doesn't mean you can't...
Well, they could have been turned into affordable housing units.
Oh, I mean, look what Lowell's done with these mills. Lowell has done... I mean, you see some of it in New Bedford, but it hasn't been... capitalized like some of the other mill cities, and you know, there's great examples of it, but you do see some of it. But you wish there would be more success, more investment.
What about multi-level parking garages? You know, storage facilities all over the place.
All over the place.
I mean, what do we need all this for?
You got me.
You know, it's storage warehouses for dope.
And that tells me
that this doesn't make sense.
You're planning for evictions. That's what I think.
I think you're absolutely right. The mayor knows this, and he don't want to see a thing.
Well, I don't think he doesn't want to say a thing. I don't want to be completely unfair to John Mitchell. I think he's got a plan that he's confident in. I don't know that I share in it because I don't know what he's looking at exactly. But I do see that he has bypassed certain things and he's invested and doubled down on what he believes in. So he's going to live and die by his decisions politically.
Well, let me just say one more thing, Ken, and that is the fishing industry has been our bread and butter. Now, with this whole thing with wind, and I agree with Mike and you and many others, that's a big mistake. You know, ripping up the coral reefs and under the ocean, disturbing the ecosystem for, you know, the fish and and the scallops and so forth. And that's putting a hit on our fishermen, plus NOAA restrictions. So that's the bit. When that goes, you can kiss the whole thing goodbye. You'll really be in receivership, Chapter 9.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who know a lot more than I do that believe the city is overinvested in the area of the wind, and it's hurt the fishing industry more than it should have.
All right, Ken. Thank you for letting me talk.
And, of course.
You have a good day. It's always good talking to you, Ken.
You too, sir. Thanks. Good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning, Ken. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you, Steve?
Well, I'm helping to set up a new bicycle factory in South Carolina.
Really?
Which, very exciting. More people buying bikes get more fit and happy. And we actually produce our bikes. This is a new company I just started working with 2 weeks ago. We produce our bikes in Slovakia, but we're actually starting by March. We'll have a line producing the bikes here. So we're pretty excited about that. But
anytime you talk about Slovakian bicycles, I get excited.
Well, some of those people in that factory have been around 20 plus years. So we'll always have something there for sure. Producing
Schwinn.
For Europe. But what's that?
Schwinn. No, never mind.
Schwinn's long gone.
No, I know.
Schwinn's just... Well, it's just a brand sold by a Chinese company at this point.
But that was just a dumb joke. It's anyway.
Pretty sad.
But I never thought they'd be gone.
You know, it's, they sort of petered away, unfortunately. A lot of brands, you'd think about Raleigh, Schwinn, you can go down the list and they're all kind of long gone or been rolled into another company at one point or another. But anyway. You know, you had a gentleman calling before Jimmy, the last one that was talking about, you know, solar panels, the way to go and green energy. And, you know, this has been a big lie that's kind of been propagated to everybody in general. But, you know, because of Massachusetts being so green focused and more Healy, that's number one or two or three on her agenda. You know, no one's really looking at the forest through the trees or looking at the numbers, including Mayor Mitchell, you know, who keeps promoting, oh, jobs, jobs, jobs. But as each wind blade falls off into the ocean, those jobs are going to go away. But, you know, you can't, I mean, by the numbers, you can't put enough solar panels on the planet to cover the energy needs for the planet.
Well, not yet. But I think we're still in the infantile stage of harnessing the sun. I think that eventually, as it gets more and more efficient, I think that that'll come a day. But people should not be under the impression that it you know, just go forward with what you have now and stop progressing because it's good enough. No, I think they've got to do much more in terms of capturing the energy because they've only learned how to harness a fraction of it.
Well, no, that may be true. And there may be, like you were talking about Elon Musk. Well, two Elon Musk batteries in your house does support your house, because I know somebody's got one.
Are they cost efficient?
It's about $30,000 a battery. So if you were building a new house and you were going to amortize that into the cost of your house, it's probably works fine for you. But then again, you have to have all the sources to pull the energy in.
So that's about 5 years of energy cost as it stands today when you consider electrical and heating.
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, the green stuff they're doing now, or whether it's going to be, it's all just, it's an efficiency issue, I mean, you know, which I think is great.
And, do these batteries have a guarantee beyond 5 years?
Oh yeah. I mean, they're all relatively new, and I don't know what their terms and conditions are on the batteries or anything, but I mean, they're designed to store, it's a solid state battery. Okay. So that's different than most batteries, and that's why it's expensive. Solid state batteries are the pinnacle of batteries. They don't wear out the way that NiCads or all these other type of batteries do.
Yeah. So after 5 years, it's all free, you know, at that point. So that's pretty good.
I mean, yeah, it's really good. And that's, they have solid state batteries in their cars too, the Tesla cars too. But you know, we're trying to get them on bicycles, for instance, like the e-bikes. Mm-hmm. But those batteries are $1,000 a piece for e-bikes. So people are like, it's not a fit. You know, we don't want to spend that much. But they last forever.
Is that why they're so expensive? Because I know they run for about $2,500, a good one.
Well, they go, I mean, you can get one for $799, a decent good one. Like I got one for my wife retail for $799. And then, I mean, one that I'm riding for mountain biking is around 8,000. But
wow.
The batteries last a long time, and then the replacements aren't that expensive, but they're very heavy. You're basically building an entire bike, and then you're putting a motorized system in, so you're doubling the cost.
How heavy? How heavy are they?
Like my mountain bike, which goes for like 5 hours straight. I mean, it's probably 50 pounds.
Oh, so you can feel it when you're pedaling.
No, not really, because the motor is an assist. So when you hit the pedal stroke, it's like hitting the gas, and you will feel the motor kick in and actually.
No, but you can pedal. But you can turn it off though, right? To store.
Oh yeah.
That's what I mean. So when you're getting your cardio, and you can probably feel that 50 pounds pretty good.
Well, you can. Mine, you can set to my watch. So if I want to stay in a range of 130 to 150, heart rate.
Yeah.
Range, the assist will change. So if I'm going up a hill, it'll actually assist me more. But if I'm going down a hill, it'll take the assist off. So
that's
that actually
brilliant.
Will stay in.
That's brilliant.
It's crazy. Yeah. The technology is crazy. I'm 65, trying to make it to 70. So I've got to do everything I can.
I think you'll be all right.
I think I'll make it. But there's some really cheap things you can do.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Okay, we're back. Let's bring Steve on to finish his telephone call here. So anyway, sorry about the interruption. Whether I want to or not, we go to a commercial break here.
Oh, no worries. I was just going to say that with the needs for AI in the future, like green energy is not going to get there. And there may be technologies in the future that are going to come, but in the short term, and I'm talking about the next 5 to 10 years, really small nuclear reactors, or if you're trying to stay green or relatively green and relatively safe, they've created these micro reactors now. It's amazing. You can actually power into just a neighborhood on a micro reactor. Or if you have a slightly bigger one, you can power an entire city. And I would think that if John Mitchell, I would see if he could promote that, because if he can take the energy cost down and do something like Taunton is doing, where Taunton, has a contract with a local power source. I mean, there's no more coal.
He could pivot. I mean, he's really doubled down on wind. I mean, he's committed to it. But, these projections, I hope they're not tied to fully operational 24/7 wind turbines, because every one that I can see on the south, going from, Plymouth to Rhode Island, it doesn't matter. There's a good fraction of the time these things are not operating.
Right. No, it will. And you got to look at Europe because the North Sea, they put the first turbines in the North Sea like 20 years ago. And most of those have fallen apart. There's really good video and stories on the fact that micro pieces of sand blowing into a wind turbine, the leading edge of the foil, will actually chip away at it, like when the front of your car gets paint chipped after a couple of years driving on the highway. And then what happens is once the foil's broken and it breaks through, the efficiency of the blade is gone, and then it just doesn't work as well until it comes apart. And, you know, the cost of replacing blades and wind turbines and it just is it's not going to solve all the problems.
Well, we all want clean energy, right? I mean, even people sure. who are fine with driving oil driven cars, things like, we all want clean energy. We're not there. The propaganda, the stubbornness of those pushing it, you know, they can say what they want. It is not efficient as they want it to be. The propaganda does not match the numbers. You know, they didn't come as advertised. They're breaking down. They're falling off. Not maybe at the level that some conservative news sites would say, but they're still not coming as advertised. And the numbers are projected based on fully operational turbines. And I just, we're not seeing it.
Well, and I'll leave you with this, is when they shut off the coal-fired plants, like the one in Somerset, mm-hmm. which is one of the cleanest in the country.
Right,
and
point.
They killed the gas lines, and she bragged about that before she was governor. What she did was, the Democrats like to create pain. They did this in not voting for 40 days on the continuing resolution. They like to create pain to create change. I mean, I talked to Democrats up in Boston, including Seth Moulton. He used to come to our factory in Boston. And you know, they don't have a problem with seeing $7 a gallon gas because they know it's going to force people into doing something else.
Their beliefs, that, to show you how erratic and radicalized they are about this, do you remember there was a boat that came in with some coal and it was illegally detained by these environmentalists? And Sam Sutter, the district attorney, didn't even prosecute them. That's a high seas felony. And Sam, well, you can't do that to commerce on this. I mean, Thomas Jefferson invented the Navy to stop that kind of thing, right?
Piracy.
And but he agreed with their sentiment of not burning the coal, so he didn't even charge them.
Well, Antifa is an idea. It's not really, there's not a bunch of people that actually organize to go out and take bricks and throw them at people, but it's just an idea. So let's keep it in perspective.
Unbelievable.
Right, listen, you have a great day.
Nice call, and good luck with your company.
I'll fill you in as we go here. I'll send you a text.
Awesome. Thanks. Yeah, I like the I like those bikes, especially if you're riding. I don't know if not around here, it's not a big deal. Everything's flat around here. But I mean, if you ever go bike riding in New Hampshire, my in-laws have a place in Ossipee. I mean, you're talking about some really rugged territory. It'd be nice to have a little boost, especially my age. 508-996-0500. Yeah. The fiscal responsibility. This is why even in a state like Massachusetts, you can get a Romney, you can get a Baker elected, because I think the citizens, once they've had nothing but Democratic leadership, they want to break from it. And this is what we're now starting to get there. I'm not predicting a change of party at the governor's spot yet, but there's some pretty good Republican candidates. I don't know that they messaged the way Baker could or Mitt Romney. Say what you will about him, he was very disciplined. And the Commonwealth healthcare would have looked a lot more different if he was not the governor. He signed what he signed, but I understood why he did it, because it was going to go through anyway. He at least got some of it to go his way for his signature. Big circumstance of change coming. The president is now encouraging the Republicans to sign, to vote for the Epstein files to be completely released. I want them completely released, even though Trump didn't want them completely released. I wanted it all out. And I don't care who's on it. I don't care. I will turn on anyone that has done anything when it comes to pedophilia, sex trafficking. I don't care if it's Donald Trump. I don't think it's Donald Trump, but if it is, I'll turn on him on a dime. I mean, the Democrats thought they had something last week when Raskin released something. And he redacted the names, which weren't redacted, but the name was Virginia Giuffre, who said Trump was never there when anything inappropriate didn't happen. So the Democrats, it kind of got thrown back in the face as a big nothing burger. But where was this pressure when Joe Biden was the president? And I am under, of the impression that there are enough powers in Washington that would have leaked the Donald Trump problems in the Epstein files while he was running for president in 2024 to stop him. Because I know so many people are desperate to stop him from taking office and keeping office. And I think they would have done anything. So I'm of the position that it would have been out already if there was anything damning for Donald Trump. But if there is, and I'm wrong, I'm going to turn on him. I don't have any sympathy, any tolerance for this. Neither should anyone. But I think the MO of the Trump haters is that he's guilty until proven innocent. That's not how we operate. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Good. How are you? Oh, actually, let me put you right back on break, on hold so we can talk to you afterward. Sorry about that. I got to watch the clock a little better in the morning here. I'm running the Chris McCarthy Show, not the Ken Pittman Show. Don't go away. Back to our call. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Just let me just say, in regards to this whole Epstein thing, is that, in my personal opinion, I don't want to sound like I think that Trump did anything. He's a pedophile or whatever, right? I think that they're a bunch of young millionaires with a lot of money, with a lot of access to a lot of women. And I always look at it. If it was me, I probably would have been, for a better choice of words, going after every girl that was around.
I think Trump was like that in the 80s. Yeah. I wouldn't have voted for who he was. I'll tell you that.
I don't blame him for that. With the things.
Well, sure. I only got 10 seconds for you. Sorry.
Oh, 10 seconds. Jeez. Okay. I know.
How about this? Call me after. I didn't give you enough time. It's just the clock.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Sorry about that. All right.